Hello, welcome to another episode of Rants with Danny Shi. Today is Thursday, August 27th here in Taiwan, and we have for the guest this week an 11 Sports English commentator for the CPBL. He's the host of Taiwan Pro Bowl, a weekly podcast that gives you all the updates you need for the CPBL. And on his Twitter description, he says that he's a Giants fan, a San Francisco Giants fan, Friends, Star Wars OT, Suits, which I appreciate, and Summer Camp. Welcome in, Ryan.
Yes. Hey, Danny. It's good to be on with you guys.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you accepting my invitation.
Hey, the pleasure is all mine, Danny. You've run a great podcast, and I'm really excited to talk some ball.
Yeah, first of all, you're at 11 Sports English commentating. How's that? How's that part of the experience?
It's been a lot of fun, and it's kind of a dream come true, because growing up watching the CPBL, I definitely imagined myself being an English broadcaster, English commentator for the league, and kind of dropped that idea, of course, for maybe about a decade or so, going to college and working a little bit, and this opportunity has just popped up, and I really appreciate it. All the guys have been doing a great job, and it's been really great to see the community being built around the CPBL, mainly on Twitter, and yeah. Kind of match the enthusiasm for the league like we did back in the day.
Yeah, and it is certainly refreshing to see international that amount of international support, especially on Twitter. Especially a couple of days ago when Ollie and Michael Barra started sending, doing the map, like the best, most popular team by state. And so many people came out and basically protested and wrote down where they're from and their favorite team. And it's still heartwarming. It's very heartwarming to see.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the map is the map of the United States in the 50 states, and every single one has a CTBC Brothers icon on it. Yeah. So it was posted by, I'm assuming, Brothers fan Ollie, who we'll get to learn more and get familiar with. And then Michael Bear, of course, is kind of like our celebrity endorser, celebrity promoter.
Yeah.
We very appreciate his fandom and, of course, his enthusiasm for the league as well. And he's been doing he's kind of been promoting our league, but he's just a baseball fan, and so this is kind of the league it's his 2020 league.
Yeah And
so I look forward to those results too.
It's definitely one of the surveys that I will look forward to more than most other surveys that it's out there, which is a lot. Ryan's here, and we're gonna start the review for the second half of the season so far. We're about 23 games into the second half. The Guardians are the only team with 21 games played due to rain delays. So we're about a tiny bit more than a third through the second half of the season, and all four teams are pretty close to each other. The last team, the Recruiting Monkeys, as of today, is 3.5 games back from first, who are the Uni Lions, which is a totally different scenario from the first half. I think about 20 games in, the Monkeys were still up like 7 or 8 games in the first half. So much different narrative in the second half. The Uni Lions are in first place with 13 wins, 9 losses, and a tie. The Guardians are 11-10 in second place. The Brothers are 10-12 with 1 tie, and the Monkeys are 10-13 at fourth. And in the four-year standings, the Brothers are still in front. I need to wait until the website gets loaded here, but the four-year standings is still the same with in terms of team order with the first half of the standings. It's the Brothers, Monkeys, Lions, and Guardians. The Monkeys are 3.5 games back from the Brothers in second place. That's important because assuming whoever gets the first place in the four-year standings will have different playoff implications. The CPBL account has a video for that. I'll put that video in the link description, in the description of the episode. So, Ryan, let's go through each of the teams. We're going to go within the order of the second half season standing. So Lions, Guardians, Brothers, Monkeys. And for each team, we're going to go through the good and the bad. And rather than the good, bad, ugly, we're going to go through the good, bad, and championship chances. So let's get started. So starting with the Uni Lions, again, they're 13-9. They're first in the league in this second half. They're one and a half games above the Furon Guardians. And they finished third in the first half, and for a stretch in May and June, they were just in the bottom of the league. So tell us about the good about the Uni Lions so far in the second half.
I think most people would agree one of the most important ingredients to the Lions' success in the second half so far is their record against the Brothers. They're 7-2 against the Brothers, where they were 4-16 in the first half. And so creaming the Brothers is a big deal. Of course, the first half champs. We'll get to them later. They don't look as sharp as they did, but if we get to a look under the hood, there's actually some ingredients that play into it. And so anyways, they've been an incredible 9-4 on the road in the second half. And by the way, I kind of only count Hualien as partial home games because they bat second, but it's not their familiar. You don't sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
Basically, that is a huge deal, I would assume, for anyone, and especially to athletes. So of course, very well known is their outfields, the three musketeers, as you called them.
Yeah.
They were a very prolific home run hitting team in the first half. In the second half, they haven't been and still been able to win a lot of games. And I think probably what goes a little bit underrated is how good their bullpen was. Mm-hmm. And so at least with last week, I took a look at their stats, and the bullpen, the winning side, out of the 28 innings that the bullpen took up, 20 innings were taken up by the winning side. If I get these names right, because please forgive me, Mandarin is my second language and names are difficult. Fu Yogang, Liu Xiangda, Zheng Junren, Huang Junyan, and Chen Yunwen went 20 and third innings with an ERA of 0.89, which is incredible for any stretch, but of course for a team that's trying to get through the Hualien series, and of course against these powerful hitting CPBL teams, that's like probably the most impressive week that any unit, if we can call them that, to borrow a football term, any unit has had so far. And of course, maybe if we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, looking ahead, you know, Brock Sykeshorn has had three straight good starts, fastball, curveball guy, and he ratcheted up the strikeout count with 10. And then we'll start learning about Tim Melville's stuff. He made his first start last week, which was one of the two 12-inning games. So it goes to show the Lions have been pretty resilient and pretty tough for all the games that they play. And Chen Jiexian is my personal MVP. He leads the league in OBP while having, like, the lowest strikeout rate in that, like, area code of high OBP guys. Only strikes out 7% of the time. And, of course, interestingly enough, they're the team with the lead in stolen bases, which might not mean too much, and I'm sure my colleague Sean doesn't care that much about stolen bases, but they do lead the league, and three guys with triple digits, Chen Jiexian and Su Zijie with 11, and Ling Jingkai with 10, and then five more guys with 5. So that's what's going good for the Lions.
And it's quite incredible what the bullpen has pulled off in the last couple of weeks. You mentioned the Hualien series. I just took a look at the Brothers series last weekend. Mm-hmm. Two out of those three are 12-inning games. In the first game when they had to play 12 innings, the starter, Zhang Chunyi, only went 2 innings. So they had to cover 10 innings in that game. And both Dykeshorn and Shi Zijian in games 2 and 3 didn't go over 6. So, and remember game three, it was another 12-inning game. So the bullpen actually pulled out a tremendous weekend as well last weekend. Going back to Thursday when they played the Monkeys, Peng Weilun only went three and a third innings. So, and that was the game when the bullpen kept the lineup, the Monkeys lineup locked in. So the Lions lineup can come back from a 0-7 deficit. So, so overall, the Lions bullpen is a very surprising unit, especially in the second half. And the only mishap you could say is the 19-3 game versus the Brothers on Saturday of last week. But you know, that was sort of a ticking time bomb that was ready to explode because they had to pull arms out of the future series squad because they ran out of mm-hmm. bullpen in the last, you know, 5 or 6 days.
So it's a rite of passage this year for every one of those CPBL teams to get pummeled by the Brothers with a big big deficit like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I was talking I was working yesterday at the office, and we were talking about it, and they're just saying it's, you know, that's why changing the core values of the ball is so important, especially for young pitchers mm-hmm. like those in the Lions bullpen, because they are not scared to throw strikes anymore. So they don't throw that many walks, or you know, they're just more confident with their pitches, and that's really all the Lions needed for their bullpen to break out of their, you know, they had quite a bit of a stretch in the first half. So that's surprisingly good for the Lions.
Yeah, they don't have we'll get to the kind of the worries that we have about the Lions, but they don't strike out a lot of hitters. So committing to the zone is certainly a test of courage, like you said.
Yeah, and the three musketeers are still scary to face, even though Lianca and Tsuji has cooled off a little bit, especially from mm-hmm. their compared to their craziness in June. But Chen Jiexian is still doing his thing at the top of the lineup. But the bad for the Lions. Now, all that being said, they did get swept in Hualien by the Guardians, mm-hmm. and I mean, they're 4 games above 500. It's not like they're running away with anything, and the Guardians are really close behind. So what do they need to improve on in order to secure a spot in the playoffs?
Improvement is key, because if you look under the hood for the Lions, and we'll eventually get to the Monkeys, there are things that say, like, that does not inspire confidence at all if they want to continue on for the season. So starting off, my main concern would be the domestic starters. Like you mentioned, there's been quite a few short starts for the Lions in recent weeks. Sisi Chen, he's good on the road, but he's been roughed up the last 2 times. He was the rookie of the year in 2018, so maybe an adjustment needs to be made, or some adjustment needs to be made. 3-time All-Star Jiang Chenyan has 2 straight starts of not getting out of the third. He's also been struggling, but curiously better on the road as well. And when you look at the pitching overall, they walk quite a few batters while striking out very few, which seems like a recipe for disaster. They do get an average amount of double plays, which we'll get to who gets the least. Yeah. While the offense is scoring 5 runs a game, there's some problems under the hood. So their offense strikes out a lot. And in the second half, haven't hit that many home runs. So right now, if you look at the tallies, it's 17 home runs to Guardians and Brothers, who are much higher at 26 and 25, respectively. They also have the lowest slash, only batting 277, 338 OBP, and which is so confusing. The lowest slugging percentage is in the second half of .390.
Yeah.
So those are definitely points of concerns. If you go to their maybe their run difference, they're sitting at -5 runs, mostly to the Brothers,
right?
Getting pummeled by the Brothers.
Yeah.
So maybe you take this with a little grain of salt, but if you plug that all into the expected wins, we're looking at like 10 and a half, 11 wins, and they are a team that's won 13 already. So far, getting a little lucky, and maybe we should give that credit to the bullpen and the late inning competitiveness of the team. But the Lions are, you know, it's a 14 league, and the Lions are going to show that they're in it for sure. And our next team, the Guardians, maybe to our surprise, are also strong competitors, strong contenders.
Yeah, and I think it really, again, it really depends on how good their starting pitching is. And obviously the bullpen, as we said earlier, are so surprisingly good. But look at the Brothers bullpen. They were good for about a 6-7 week period in the first half. And starting the second half, something, you know, we'll get to it later, but something probably a screw's untied or stuff like that, and the bullpen's nowhere as good, and it's really hard to expect and rely on a bullpen throughout a half season, especially sure. with a young bullpen like the Lions have. And so starting pitching will be very important. You know, Shi Zichen and Jiang Chenyan had been they're the two of the best domestic starters that the Lions have besides probably Guolin Ruiyang, who's also out for quite a while. And so so they need to step up. They need to take their share of the load.
Of course, and, especially with Josh Reneke out for a little while.
Yeah, and right now they have three foreign pitchers, including Josh Reneke, if I'm not mistaken. So it's Melville, Dykeshorn, and Reneke. They have three. So they have one more coming, but that's coming in at a much later date as well. So how good Dykeshorn and Melville are is also going to be very important for the Lions.
Also, probably something that needs to be said is, what kind of threat are they against left-handed pitching? Because like you said, Lianke, Suzuji have kind of slowed down in the second half, which would be okay, except that you're also looking at their splits against left-handed pitchers, and it's not that good.
Yeah.
So with those two guys rendered to like seventh, eighth place hitters against left-handed pitchers, I should say, who's going to be the threat from the right side? They have, you know,
They have Lin a couple Lujia. Of hitters from the right side. Chen Yongji had yesterday. They played against Benny Manuelos. They were able. They didn't score 7 or 8, but they scored just enough to win. Chen Jiexian is really, really good against lefties as well.
Yeah, so I'm kind of considering like overall your lineup, how much of a threat you are, and so.
Right.
There certainly are guys that can hurt you as a left-handed pitcher, right? We've seen Tian Tong Ting have a good year up to now. Ling Zujie is definitely a threat at the plate. And so we're just kind of looking for that. And of course, little Jerry.
Right.
I definitely appreciate watching him play because I'm like taller than this guy to out my own height a little bit, but not quite like a power threat, like we'll see with some other teams, but you know, that's kind of what you're looking for.
Right.
The presence of the offense. What kind of presence do they have? And so against the righties, no problem. Not at all. Right.
Right.
The three outfielders will bat 1-2-3 or 2-3-4 and take care of that part of the pitching rotation. But against lefties, what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and remember if they face the Brothers in the Taiwan series, their game one and game two starters could be Miranda and DePaula, who are both lefties. And so that's, you know, that's the one thing that the Lions need to keep in mind. And even in just in case, you know, the Lions had to play a play-in series, you know, because, you know, for some reason the Lions had to play a play-in series and they're down 0-1 going into the Taiwan series and they're facing two lefty starters against Miranda and DePaula, you know, that's something that especially the Su Zhiji and Lianke needs to improve on because they're so important for that lineup, they haven't been hitting well against lefties, especially Su Zhiji, who's known for not hitting well against lefties. But, you know, again, we talked, I mentioned a little bit about their potential playoff matchups. What, you know, give us a number on where do you think the Lions' chances are in winning the championship?
All right. The chances to go all the way, I'm going to put it at, do I have to match it with all the other teams or can I put it at a betting line?
You can put it in a betting line. I'm a little bit more noob. I go for the percentage. I can just go like they have some percent chance of going, but if you, I wouldn't mind some betting line at all.
I mean, realistically, if we're good at math, we're supposed to be able to convert the percentages into a betting line, at least at one out of some number, like a fraction. Right. Anyway, so I will put it at, to win the whole thing, I'll put it at 15%. I am very concerned with the offensive numbers so far this year. They are playing pretty lucky, and who knows when the pitching staff will tire each other out by not pitching quality or not pitching innings. So I put it at 15% because they got to get in the series first.
Yeah.
And they might end up playing a playoff game. I would really like to know what the numbers are for the occurrence of a playoff series. Because even last year it didn't happen with the Guardians having such a hot year. But
so last year,
just a tie.
Yeah, that's right. Because it was a tie, the Guardians didn't get the and they didn't win either half season championships.
Right.
So they didn't get to play in the play-in series.
Maybe conversation for another time, but have they amended that or will that still be the case this year?
That would still be the case. If the team has to completely take over, like they have to completely surpass every other team.
Gotcha.
If they want the wild card. And so last year was kind of an outlier year. And I think last year it was funny. It was like one of those outlier years where if the brothers lose a game at the end of the season,
right,
they don't have to play a play-in game or something like that. So, but I think I actually, you know, for a 4-team league, the CPPL structure actually has, you know, I like it a lot. Especially, you know, there's some tension going into June and July. Remember the Monkeys the Monkeys and the Brothers always had those series. And now, and if we're in a 4-year standings right now, you wouldn't think the Lions and the Guardians are championship contenders because they're still, 7 and 13 games behind the Brothers and the Monkeys. So I actually love the half season structure. Go ahead.
It was a great idea from the very beginning of the inception of the league, and of course it's gone through changes, but we'll save that for another pod.
We'll save that when I get invite you back for another time. Let's go to the Fubon Guardians. They are 11-10 on the season. They're again 1.5 games back to the Uni Lions. They're 5-3 versus the Lions, and three of those five wins came in Hualien again, as they swept the Lions on the road, quote unquote on the road. It's more of a neutral site, more than a road site. So what's the good about the Guardians this half season?
What's not to like about their second half so far? They went from worst to first offensively in runs per game, improving from 5 to 5.5, which is an anomaly in this league where they of course, it's well known that they've changed the quality of the baseball. So their, of course, offense has flipped in the average slugging, on-base percentage, home runs per game somehow, while also walking the least and striking out the least, which is a curious thing about the Guardians. Gaogu Hui has reemerged because we know of him as a powerful hitter. He's reemerged as their cleanup hitter, 9 home runs on the second half, 24 RBIs. He leads the league in slugging at a 672, which is a little surprising given that he can't leg out many triples, if at all.
Yeah.
But anyways, so they got a lot of confidence in their lineup against right-handed pitchers. You know, you start off with Li Zhongxian, followed by Zhang Jing, the Gaogu Hui, Jiang Zixian, Lin Yichuan, Gao Guoling. So that's a very dangerous lineup against the right-handed pitchers of the league. Defensively, I'm a little surprised, but they allow the fewest what we call free bases at Santa Clara back when I was working with a baseball team. So walks, box, wild pitches, and errors, defensive errors. I haven't included hit by pitches. That takes a little bit of time. And maybe it'll be a suggestion for the CPBL website to include that for the pitching stats. Anyways, so the first half, they only allowed 250, which was the lowest in the league. And so far in the second half, they've continued that form, only allowing 69 so far. If you're looking at pitching-wise, they've allowed the least amount of walks and least amount of homers. And they've also stepped up as the best defensive team so far with only 14 errors.
Yeah.
So it's a really crazy, like almost statistically outlier kind of second half so far. Sosa's only had two bad starts, and Lurie's not as effective, but still eats a lot of innings, which is good. Brian Woodall, he was dutiful in his appearances so far, but he'll probably get a break for Banelos, who's the sinker baller, had kind of roughed up a little bit last night. The domestic start of Jiang Guohao and Chen Sipeng both won two straight. And, of course, Chen Sipeng with a famous complete game in Taoyuan, shout out. And then the previous one had eight innings. So they're on an upward trajectory compared to the two Lions guys we pointed out earlier. So that's what's going good for the Guardians from my side.
Yeah. I think there's a reason, though, why they're – only a game above 500, I think the good for the Guardians is that their hitting has been a little bit better than, especially before they switched to pitching the hitting coaches. And you look at their stats in Hualien, 15 runs, 11 runs, and 7 runs in that 3-game series. But I think those 3 games kind of padded their batting stats a little bit. There's no doubt that their hitting has gone a little bit better. It's a lot better to watch than some periods in the first half where you just see people just, you know, swing and a miss sometimes during the season. I still think their strength is their starting pitching. Mike Lurie hasn't been as good as he's had before in the CPBL. Mm-hmm. Still a well above average starting pitcher, and you add that with Sosa and Banuelos, and they still have a new foreign pitcher coming up too. If they make it to the Taiwan series, starting pitching will have the edge against any team in the CPBL. In terms of starting pitching. Now, their bullpen, though, on the other hand, is a little bit more shaky, but we'll get into that later. And so if the offense give them enough run support, and what I mean by run support with the Lurie and the Sosa on the mound is, you know, you don't need 7 runs when you have those pitchers on. You just need probably a 3 or 4. The team should be in good position. The stereotypically, like, just by impression, whenever Lurie and Sosa is on the mound, the Guardians don't hit well for some reason, and so their numbers don't look as good in terms of wins and losses. And Mike Lurie isn't that one run and shutout pitcher anymore so far this season. So as long as they give them some sort of run support, I think the Guardians' strength will still be starting pitching. But there are some other parts still concerning, Ryan.
Yeah, before we get to that, in their 10 losses so far, only seven of them have been less than 3 runs, so within a closer's range for the opponent pitchers, and only 3 games have been more than that margin and haven't been blown out by more than 8 runs so far on the year. A lot has been made about Logan Brumley stepping up in the offensive side in terms of coaching the guys up. So when I was in Taoyuan for a little bit inside, he was kind of adjusting every hitter's kind of wrist angles and making sure their bat paths were still aggressively pursuing a hard contact.
Yeah.
As for the concerns that we have, I think maybe this is like an old baseball scout kind of observation, but they have the least stolen bases, which might not be a big deal, but it also kind of highlights they don't have as many what we call rabbits, guys that will run all over the place. They have a lot of beef in their lineup. So yeah, like the same guys, maybe Zhang Jingde, of course, the Gall brothers in the outfield, and Jiang Zixin, and even Lin Yichuan, they're not a fleet of foot. So
right,
it's not like a kind of team that you can, that will hit and run like crazy or put down a lot of the small ball to win games. Maybe the bottom part of their lineup, but we haven't seen that so much. So I guess the, if I'll get that out of the way, the old selling genes kind of problems.
Yeah.
On the overall season, they probably have the least confidence in their bullpen, like you mentioned. So far, they have the least amount of holds and saves at a 34 and 13 by quite a bit. Now, some of that has to do with their winning and losing record, right?
Right.
If you don't win enough, you don't get enough opportunities. Nifu does the only stud reliever, but he's been dealing with injuries all year, only 11 games in relief so far. So they kind of rely on Wang Weiyong, Lin Yihao, Chen Jianghua, and Luo Guohua, and Lai Hongchen, don't forget, and Fan Yuyu. They all have 16 and more games relieved, but hardly have like eye-popping, exciting, excellent stretches. So they're kind of still figuring out their roles and figuring out what's the best way. But of course, in a small league like this, adaption, consistent change is also part of the game. And so another concern is maybe, like I said, there's such a statistical anomaly. You kind of are expecting some regression to the mean. So they're pitching home runs per nine. So how many home runs they give up per game right now sits at about 2/3 of a home run a game, 0.62, while other teams are sitting at about one or more than one. So I kind of expect that number to go up. And so that'll be a detriment to their defensive, defensive and run prevention capabilities. And their offense is just like so good, almost way too good. So it's good for them, but I'm certainly as a diagnosis of what they're going to go do going forward, that's certainly something I'm kind of wary of.
Yeah. And the bullpen is certainly, one part of the team that's just in general, the CPBL, they're not heads and above. And if you're not heads and above in the bullpen, generally it's a little bit unstable. And the one thing that worries me about the Guardians is, again, just by impression, because I don't see that stat on the website, but they don't play a lot of comeback games. They don't have a lot of comeback games. They most of the games that they win are games that they get ahead and their pitching settles in and they leave the game with a win. Whenever they fall behind, you don't see the team really, have one of those signature comeback wins other than the game against the Monkeys when Gao Guohui had a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. But that also really speaks cool. That also speaks to the bad Monkeys bullpen as well.
Actually, the website does have that stat. If you go under the 特殊统计, see that, yeah. So the Guardians are 9-31 on the year, 9-31 on the year when they are the second team to score, when their opponents have scored first. So that does go to what you're saying about they're not a great resilient team offense or overall.
Right.
So other teams are sitting in the teens. So the Brothers, 17 wins, the Monkeys, right, 16, and the Lions, 15. They're sitting at nine. So
yeah,
if they're going to make a run at it, I think being in every game and coming back from behind will be a big deal because you're not always going to have a great start pitching or offensive wise. So that's all part of the equation.
And the other thing that pops out is their 9-15 record in one run games. And if they do go into the series or close to the Taiwan series, one run games is going to count. And that's why, in my opinion, the batting stats look really good for the Guardians, but a lot of those are just padded, especially during the Hualien series. I mean, they scored 15, 11, and 7 runs in between those three games. And they scored 10 earlier in that week versus the Monkeys. And so overall, I think the stats look really good, but they also struggled in the first 3 weeks of the season. That's why they had to change. They had to switch the hitting coach, and then the hitting kind of just, you know, found their gear and then started hitting. And it will be interesting to see how teams adjust to their new approach in the coming days and the coming weeks. But you know, the Guardians, I mean, they're very close from first place, and they're definitely a threat for the Lions, as they're only at 1.5 games back from the top. So what are their championship chances?
Thinking about it, I would put it maybe at 25%, 1-4. I think there are certainly a lot of things to be optimistic about from a statistical standpoint in their second half, right? They only need to win one of the halves, really, yeah, to get at least get in the playoffs. But I'll just kind of assume that whoever wins the second half will go to the series, just for simplistic terms. So if the Guardians were looking at a 1 out of 4 or 25% chance, you're a lot more confident than when you began the season, right? They began the season in the first half 23-37, 14 games out.
Yeah.
An abysmal 10-20 on the road, which so far in the second half, they've been holding their own and actually doing that better, 17-6 so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Guardians have about a third chance of making it.
Okay.
Just, you know, if their hitting keeps up and their edge in starting pitching starts to show, they're not out of the competition at all for the second half. And so when it comes to the playoffs, if they face the Brothers, the Brothers have a monkey on their back in terms of the Taiwan series. And you know, if the Guardians make it, they're going to face Hong Yi-Jung again. And between the starting pitching and a manager, Daddy Hong, as we like to call him, the Brothers will be staring into the same guy in the dugout for, what, like the fifth straight year, the fourth straight year. And the experience in terms of managerial experience will be so important. So I think if they make it, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a much more interesting series. However, they still have to make it. And in terms of the 4-year standings, I don't think they have a shot to be in playoff contention on that front. So their only chance is through the second half standings. And speaking of the Brothers, I need to switch the order a little bit because they overtook the Monkeys last night at third place of the second half standings. They're 10-12 with one tie. The tie came from last Friday, where the vice president commentated. Actually, interesting fact. The vice president of Taiwan actually went out and commentated the Mandarin broadcast, and that was really he's good. Actually, he was pretty good at it, I'm not gonna lie. So the Brothers 10-12 in a tie. Three games back, they still have the lead in the 4-year standings. They kind of beat their nemesis so far. You know, in the second half, they're 6-3 versus the Monkeys. Which remember in the first half, especially towards the end, the Brothers just couldn't run away with the Monkeys because of their horrible matchup against them. So far they're 6-3. Against Rakuten. So we can start with the good again. What's the good about the Brothers?
Well, I think everything with the Brothers this year starts with their pitching. They're still the most talented staff from top to bottom, really. I think it's their bullpen runs more like 9 deep, whereas other bullpens you're kind of looking at their best 5 guys. But the Brothers have like 9 guys that you're like, hey, he's got good stuff. We'll get into that. So they still have the, if I'm looking at it right, they still have the most strikeouts. They have the best whip and the best ERA so far in the second half. Their offense, while taking a pretty sizable step back, does still lead the league in, well, curiously enough, leads the league in walks. So that's at least them seeing a lot of pitches and putting pressure on the pitchers. While they have also have a higher home run number in the second half, even though it might not feel like those are like very, you know, game busting home runs like the first half. So their OBP is up there, and as of course their 15 plus run victories one time against the Lions. Their best defensive part might, funny enough, be their catching. They have the best caught stealing percentage at 35% in the first half and 29% in the second half. So Gao Yujie and Chen Jiadru are good back there behind the plate. Of course, it helps when your pitchers are holding the runners on and delivering quickly, which is a trait that almost all of them have. They have the overall best win percentage, and of course, first to score is at 70% wins for the year, and then they're the best team after when their opponents score first at winning 44% of those games. So those are some of the good parts. What else? Of course, I think most miraculously is pinch hit specialist Suwei Da, kind of getting a little bit of flack from the online comment section, the online trolls, but he had a home run last night and is, of course, like the best pinch hitter of all times. He's like, there was like a week stretch where like he would hit a home run for every pinch hit at bat he had.
Yeah.
Incredible. So Miranda and DePaula and Ismael Rogers, kind of funny enough, are like taking turns having great stretches, but all the while they're still eating a lot of innings, which is kind of good to keep the bullpens rested and a good diet of course, you know, getting through a game.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah, and you mentioned, so I'm going to start with starting pitching first. So Miranda, DePaula, and Ismael Rogers. As of right now, that's probably the best overall top three foreign pitching in the league. Now, I did talk about Lowry and Sosa, but we still need to see what Benuelos look like as the season progresses. But Ismael Rogers has been lights out lately, and DePaula and Miranda showed their flashes. And even though they haven't been, especially for Miranda and DePaula, they probably haven't been as dominant as some stretches during the season. Even when they're not, you know, on their A game as we speak, they're still getting six or seven innings of good pitching that, as a lineup, you know, every single time they're on the mound, you're like, okay, we still got a shot. And, you know, yesterday Miranda won his first game in like a month. But if you look at his game log, it is six innings. It's always six, seven innings with, you know, four earned runs or five earned runs, sometimes less than that. And in the league, like the CPBL, four or five earned runs through seven innings is not that bad. It's not that bad. The team normally still got a pretty good shot at winning. Their bullpen is another, especially in the first half, their bullpen is super, super good. Really held the team together during the stretch in May, in which, the team struggled a little bit. Again, and they're 6-3 versus the Monkeys, which is not a pun unintended, but it was a monkey on their back. But right now they obviously are, they're 6-3 against them. So in the second half, and that's really who they need to beat. You know, making sure that the Monkeys aren't threatening to take that first spot in the 4-year standings, and as long as that's like the least that they need to do in order, because they don't want to be playing in a play-in game at the end of the season. A lot of good for the brothers in the second half so far. Not everything has been clicking at the phrase? Not everything has been working together as well as it had been in the first half. I think mostly that's just the lineup not being as dominant as it had been in the first half. But other than that, the bullpen, you know, there's a couple of pitchers that are struggling a little bit, but mostly they're still very good. And the starting pitching is still well above average.
Yeah, can we give a shout out to Liao Yizhong, who maybe at the beginning of the season we wasn't looking so hot, and the prognostication was like, he's just kind of a guy. But since Huang has kind of been slowed down and getting a lot more rest and getting revved up again for the second half, Liao Yizhong's been stepping up big time. We're of course hoping that Mitch Lively will get back to pitching again. And yeah, like we said before, the bullpen's probably got the best talent over from top to bottom. So, I mean, I guess the pitching staff as a whole, top to bottom, has got you're like squinting and you see like, yeah, that guy's done good. That guy's done good. And that guy's done good. So like everyone's got the potential of getting strikeouts. They had the most double plays in the first half, and that's kind of a product of a good execution and some of it getting lucky. And that's still the case in the second half. They have 19 double plays on the year when there's a lot more runners on against the brothers. It feels like in the critical situations.
Yeah. And the brothers certainly, you know, so far the record doesn't really reflect it at 10-12 with a tie again, like I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. But overall, this team is still, you know, the main objective in the second half is to make sure that the Monkeys aren't gonna take that best record in the full year standings. So so the bat. Obviously, there is a reason why they're 10-12 so far in the second half. So what is not clicking so well for the brothers?
It's got to be some championship hangover. Let's not forget that they won the second half in 2019. So if you look at their record, they're about a game, maybe two games, probably two games back of where they should be in terms of their run differential. So they're the only team to strike out more often in the second half than the first half, which is kind of confusing. But they also have the least amount of, let's see, do I have this right? They're also the team that least double plays from most. So their execution in stressful situations will be tested again and again. Of course, we mentioned before there are some high profile, like if not injuries, or at least like maybe concerns, health concerns with their pitchers, Tai Chiza being one of them. And then per mention, Huang Enshi had a bad start too, and has been working on him getting built up again. They, of course, similarly like a lot of teams, they have a left-right problem. So for the brothers, they also have a lack of power against right-handed pitchers. Zhang Zixin is, for most part of the year, has been the only threat from the right side, and he's kind of been hot and cold. If we're going to go into more mechanics, he's one of the hitters that frustrates me a lot because he has incredible bat speed, but his front foot mechanics, the way he like turns on his ankle and then yanks his leg back, that's not super conducive to power. But anyways, that's for some more investigation. And he is an all-star after all. But anyways, like Lin Zixin has not been getting it done. He hasn't had an RBI in what feels like a month, which is not good. And so the left side on offense maybe sure is up and down, but the right side, definitely lack of power is concerning, which is at least a better problem than like not being able to get on base at all, right? Udong Rong and Jiang Kunyu, the rookie shortstop, they got some skilled bats who are good against the fastball. That's kind of what I see. Certainly, I think, yes, championship hangover is maybe one of the biggest problems so far for them.
Yeah. I think championship hangovers, it just comes and goes at times. Sometimes it hits you really hard. It's going to be really hard to replicate what the Lamego Monkeys did, winning five straight half championships. Mm-hmm. There's always that mentality. If you win a half season championship, especially the first half, you go like, okay, let's we can sort of take our foot off the gas and just coast for the second half. The team, you know, the coaches and the veterans will always go against that. I think so far, especially just in the scope of the second half, the biggest X factor will be their fifth starter, because Huang Enshi won't be pitching as much. He's on a pit innings limit for the second half. And so on every Sunday, you will just see a different starter. Sometimes it's a pitcher like Wei Shuochen, they pulled from the future series, or last week, or I can't remember other names, but that's, you know, because you can only have 3-4 in pitching. So even if Lively comes back, and if back to the major league squad, they can't use Lively for the Friday, for the Sunday, and Hwangsu again is on a pitching limit. So when you go to the playoffs, Hwangsu was so important for the brothers in the first half that does he have that same feel to him? Does he have that, you know, does he have carry the momentum from all the way from the first half, or and then just take a couple of starts in the second half and then go straight into the playoffs and deliver the same performance that he did? And I think that's the biggest question mark for the brothers, especially going into the playoffs. But other than that, I think the lineup is it obviously isn't as good as it was in the first half and so far, but you know, I think they're due for a rebound, especially having a very good bullpen and a very good starting pitching in the front end. So
yeah, the guy you're thinking of is Zole, number 99. He's right, only pitched three times, and he's kind of got roughed up every time this year by all the three other teams. So yes, you're right. That last starter, while there's some guys down, will be eating those innings up, will be key.
Yeah, and most of the time when a pitcher like Zole or Wei Shuchen, the guys they pulled from the future series, comes up to pitch the Sunday game, very rarely do they like when Wei Shuchen finished five innings that Sunday, it was like an accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? Like and the team celebrated like it was a big thing. And Zole, of course, I don't think he made out of the fourth inning. I think that his maximum innings pitched was four per game, and so that's going to be an X factor. But I think come playoff time, they will go back to their Hwangsu, Liao Weizhong, DePaula, Miranda, and maybe Rogers, maybe Lively combination. So that being in mind, I mean, they have a spot in the playoffs, most likely a Taiwan series already. So a pretty decent shot to win the Taiwan series. A better shot than most of the teams other than themselves. So what are their championship series? What are their championship chances?
I put it at, really, I think it'd be up as high as 35%. So that's a little even better than a 1-in-3 chance. All right. Like you said, they already have a spot, at least in the playoffs. And then historically speaking, that's probably good enough for a spot in the Taiwan series. They're not out of reach for winning the second half. And every team that's won both halves has gone on to win the whole thing. They might have an up and down lineup offensively, right? They're capable of a double digit game, and they're also capable of getting shut out in 12 innings. But you also think that they do have professional hitters, like Zosichi might be like the most professional of all the hitters in the league in terms of having a plan and punishing a mistake. So I think 1-in-3 would be their championship chances.
Yeah, I think that's a fair evaluation for the brothers. I haven't, you know, I'm always troubled by this. I'm pretty sure the percentages don't have to add up to 100, right? For all the teams. So, I'm not a betting guy, so I don't know how those things work. But I would give them a little bit higher because I gave the Guardians what a 33% chance. Yeah. So the brothers need to be a little bit higher. I was thinking about around a 40-45. I was thinking actually maybe at 50 because they have a shot in the Taiwan series. They already have a spot in the Taiwan series already. Mm-hmm. So, I've never put money on sports, so I'm not sure how good. How logical that sounds if you put it into betting odds. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the brothers, I think we need to tune into the final third of the second half to really give a good a read on the brothers, because we can just see the first third or maybe the first half, the second half, as like a coach and just making sure they're rested and they're not getting hurt and stuff like that. And then they'll probably tune it up by the end of the season.
Yeah, the good news is they have already played 10 games against the Lions, so they got that over with. They're not so good against the Lions so far. But the bad news is you still got 10 more. And so, you know, you say the monkeys are a key to who they match up with. I think they got to make sure that they get back on track against the Lions, who, as we mentioned before, is a team with plenty of problems underneath the hood. And so you still got to play the game. You still got to take advantage. You still got to come up out on top. So I think that's what I love about CPBL is rewarding the championship of both half seasons with a game in the Taiwan series.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes for a good story. Like the 94 team that won both halves and was crowned the golden champions.
Right. Right.
It's a really cool story, but I think for competitive sake, it's a nice compromise to have them one game up. Although, you know what, maybe like 50 years in the future, they're like, hey, that one game up is too much of an advantage because every year that team would win. But we'll see. Because by the way, the team that gets that one game still has home field advantage. They play four games at home and two games on the road. So it's like a triple whammy for winning that both halves.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, for the play-in series, like whoever wins the play-in series, they probably don't have, you know, they probably didn't have a shot at the top of the four-year standings anyway. So it was like out of their hands in terms of whether anybody gets the first place in the four-year standings. I'm kind of confusing myself a little bit as well, but I think it's a little bit fair at the same time, in terms of rewarding the top, the team with the best record and the top half in the two half season championships, but it is a little bit too unbalanced, in some cases. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the Monkeys are really the only team so far, it looks like, that can threaten to overtake the Brothers in the four-year standings. So that's where we're going to head towards. The Monkeys, though, are not nearly as good as they were, especially in the very early part of the season. They once started the season at a 13-3 record. And now, I did the math a couple days ago, and they were a sub 500 team ever since that 13-3 start, and that reflects pretty well in the second half standings. They're 10-13, 3.5 games back to the Lions. They're 2-3 versus the Lions, 3-6 versus the Brothers, and 5-4 versus the Guardians. They're 2-7 on the road, and they're on a 3-game winning streak as of today, which is August 27th.
Losing streak.
Three-game losing streak as of today, which is August 27th. There's still some good. There's still some good within the Monkeys team and their group of players. But let's start with that. What's working well for the Monkeys so far?
All right. Well, I think the biggest thing that stands out for the Monkeys in the second half is they've fixed their defensive problems. They led the league in errors in the first half with 77. Most of those coming in and around the infield, but Lin Senfei's been stepping up and he's a really steadying force at short. So they've gone down to, well, so far 18 errors on the half so far. They know how to win tight games. I've said this many times, probably like both or maybe even all three of my broadcasts so far. They're the best team in one-run games so far. They are 13-5, and they're the only team with a winning record in tight games. And they're the biggest threat to left-handed and right-handed pitchers because of their lineup balance. They have a really solid identity for both lefty starters and righty starters, left-handed offense and right-handed offense. They're the second best bullpen, I would say, in terms of top-end talent. Teng Yuxun and Wang Yaolin, Huang Zipeng, and now stepping up for them is Su Junzhang. But then, you know, the bottom end of the bullpen, the losing side, But anyways, those winning side might be overworked, and we're kind of seeing that with Tian Yuxing.
Yeah.
But I think another positive it's effective in the win column, but especially a morale boost is they're also the best walk-off team. By my count, they've walked off 4 times, including 3 in 1 week. That was crazy.
Yeah.
The brothers only have 2 walk-offs, the Guardians have 3, and the Lions only have 1. So doesn't matter that much. It's just one more game, but you know, it's fun. It's a morale boost, and it goes to show that they're a team that knows how to win. And so they got a little bit of that magic pixie dust, and hopefully they don't run out of it anytime soon. What do you see?
I think that obviously it's I'm a Monkees fan. If y'all don't know already, it's a little bit hard for me to pick out the good stuff, especially their performance in the last couple of weeks. Probably because I probably set to have an expectation. I mean, they started 13-3, and to see them going sub .500 ever since, it's a little bit hard to imagine. Their bullpen, mostly throughout the season, the bullpen had been the weak link, I think, in my opinion. Their starting pitching was really good in the beginning of the season. Now is a little bit more average than looked like. We'll get into the bad later, but the good is
That's not good if you have to think so hard.
I know. I would say come high leverage situations, mm-hmm. especially late in games, the experience should be a help to them, especially for the lineup. Their lineup used to be a strength, but so far in the second half, they have not been as consistent as a fan would hope to see. However, it is still a strength. You're not. You shouldn't be. The likes of Chen Zhen. We don't want to see Chen Zhen Wei on a base path at all. Ling Li has decent speed, and he is just a genius in hitting. And there are a couple. You know, most of the lineup. I think it's still a really really full of talent, and that's something that you know if everything starts clicking again. For the Monkees, that's, you know, the lineup will be the one thing that all the teams will be scared about, in my opinion. As a Monkees fan, the last couple of weeks is, you know, especially and overall in the second half, I've left more disappointment than otherwise. And so let's head to the bad for the Monkees. Again, like I said, they're in terms of, you know, I talked about how they're the only team to have a shot in the full year standings. And that's mostly because of that hot start they had in the beginning mm-hmm. of the season. And they're still using that, right? So that's how good they were in the beginning. But in the second half standings, which all of that was erased away, 3.5 games back, 10-13 record, 2-7 on the road. What's the bad for the Monkees?
Yeah, that 2-7 record is the first thing that I've wrote down in my notes. But to go into it a little bit more, they are the team that gives up the most free bases. Again, that's generally on the pitching start with walks, hit by pitches, wild pitches. What do we got? Pass balls. Anything that's really not a contested thing is a free base. So they lead the CPBL in free bases given up so far. On the second half, they are at 103, only two above the Lions, who are at 103. So maybe that's something we should have put down in the Lions part. But they gave up 290 in the first half, 40 more than the Guardians, and still had a much better record. So it goes to show maybe a regression to true form. They have the pitching staff, right? They have the pitching stats right now that make you go, yikes.
Yeah.
We're looking at the most wild pitches in the second half, which maybe not much, but it's still something. They have the highest whip, highest ERA. They give up 1.26 home runs per game, which leads the lead by a long margin. And the offense has, curiously enough, like, fell asleep. Like, they were leading the league in the first half. They bang home runs, and they hit for a high average, you know, led by Lingley, of course. They kind of go where he goes. In the second half, they're the lowest in OBP. They score the fewest runs. They produce the least amount of home runs. And maybe a newfound stat that I would like to make popular is total bases per base hit. Just goes to show how far your reach is. It's kind of like a slugging percentage, but like realistic.
Yeah.
It is also sitting at a pretty low number at 1.43, whereas the top team is the Brothers at 1.58. So how much you punish the baseball.
Right.
So those are a number of concerning things. They lead the league in pass balls too. So the catching side is a concern. They caught the least amount of runners in the second half at 1.16, 16.7%. So that's what, 1 out of 7, 1 out of 6. Anyway, it's not good. It's not good enough where the league is standing about 250, 1 out of 4 runners.
Yeah.
And they're kind of in the same boat with the Lions. Like, there's problems underneath the hood. And so when we get to it, their championship odds are sitting at one number, but they are slipping, and they're slipping fast.
They had been slipping since May, especially after the monsoon season. That's when I think some gears fell away from the machine. The Monkeys, okay, so this is I've been waiting for this. So the Monkeys, they're hitting .294 as a team in batting average, right? And their on-base percentage, .343, is third in the league, but still pretty decent, right? They're not that far behind from the top of the league for on-base percentage. However, they are last in home runs, which is very surprising when you see all the talent in that lineup. They lead the league in the second half in hits, but last in the league in RBIs. So that what that means is they're not driving people home. They're just not, with runners in scoring positions or in high leverage situations, men on the corners, one out, or bases loaded, one out, bases loaded, nobody out. They're not driving them home. And like I said earlier, the starting pitching, Ryan Carpenter is good. Bonilla is good. Villanueva is good, there are less shutout pitchers or Miranda Depola-esque pitchers than they had been in the past. Bonilla he's consistent. He always gives you enough innings to win. However, he's not one of those seven innings with, you know, one earned run pitcher anymore, which for a lineup like the Monkeys were this inefficient, you know, again, leading the league in the hits, but last in RBIs. That's the pitching is good enough, right? If they're pitching for the Brothers, it'll be good enough. For this lineup, as of right now, is just not. I'm very sad in saying that because they're decent. They're decent enough to win games in the CPBL. But with all the talent that the Monkeys lineup have, it's frustrating. More frustrating than not when we see them putting runners on base and having lead. They're the best in the league in having leadoff hits and lead leadoff runners on base, but they're like the worst in the league in driving them home, and that's just disheartening. I don't mind if the hitting is just bad overall, but to me it's more disheartening when you can put people on base but you can't, like, it's like right there, right in front of you, and you can't drive them home. And that, you know, that's the sad part for me as a fan to see. Lin Hongyu, Chen Junshou had been struggling, which are two of the most important hitters in the lineup. Liao Jianfu hasn't been as good either. I kind of expected a little bit more out of Liao Jianfu. Zhu Yuxian, again, he was so good in the beginning of the season, so it's a little bit unfair to compare him to that. But he had improved quite a bit since May, since a little bit of slump in May and June. He's been hitting a little bit more consistently. But it's just, look, last in home runs, last in RBIs. And I'm not saying home runs mean everything, but, you know, we started this season, I started this season thinking that the Monkeys, their strength is in their lineup. And that the lineup really needs to carry the team into the postseason. But right now the lineup has not carried their load of the team, in my opinion. What do you think of that?
Well, that is I've really appreciated your takes, and I think you speak not only as a fan but of a longtime baseball insider, shall we say. I think the only consolation I have for you is they probably have the fewest amount of sweeps. As a loss, they were only swept by my count one time in the midweek from June 9th and 10th against the Lions.
Yeah.
This is one of those situations where you got to improve, because like the statistics they have right now are not at all going to carry them through to a second half champ or the whole season, whole overall record. Hey, it's hard. I mean,
it's hard.
This is only a 4-team league, and they're going for the fourth championship in a row, which has never been done before in the league. There's been plenty written about how hard that fourth one is. I mean, it's hard to go back to back, realistically. And to, you know, the high you come off of from winning a championship or even just winning a half season title kind of throws you for a loop. And so they've got a lot to overcome. And a lot of it comes from themselves in a lot of ways, because the competition out there is going after them, but they're still in. Maybe in name, they're still the defending champs, and they still have the talent in their team, in the lineup, in the pitching. It's there. Like every game they step onto the field, there is hints of a championship aura around them. And one of my favorite broadcasters, Mike Kruger, would always say, you know, when you step on the field, that's part of the battle is eyeing the opponent up. And you know, if it's an even fight, maybe sure anyone can win. But if you have that presence to dominate the other team, you can win it. And so that's definitely what the Monkeys gave off in the first half. Second half, not so much. They're playing just about what you would expect from their run differential.
Yeah,
they've got blown out in the second half, and they've lost plenty of games by a small margin. So, you know, the opposite could be said for the Guardians, right? We're expecting a little bit of regression, but I kind of expect some progression from the Monkeys in the second half. I think they'd have more pride than that. You mentioned a lot of guys who are struggling. Like the other day, Liao Jianfu had 3 strikeouts in a game, which is crazy to think.
And, yeah.
Lin Hongyu has been kind of on a prolonged, you know, kind of maybe not so much, not a straight up slump, but definitely an ineffective stretch. Like we say that about Guo Yuanwen. On air a lot. Oh, Gorian One's trying to break out of his slump. Well, otherwise, why is the coach batting him ninth? And infield fly girl will get mad at us and then go, he's not in a slump. If she sounds like that. But the reality is they're not, like you said, they're not that effective with runners on scoring position. And if you're not banging home runs, that's not the recipe for success. But they are still an exciting team if it's close and it's in the late innings. They're very good in that department. And I think it's it'd be interesting factoring into what we think of their championship odds.
Yeah, the lineup is just filled with so much talent, but it just hasn't delivered. I would, you know, I've been saying this ever since the monsoon season. Even though it's frustrating to see as a fan, I would rather have the lineup put runners on base and not score than not score at all. You know what I'm saying? At least they're one swing away from most of the time that with the one swing away from scoring a bunch of runs. There had been those couple of games in this season, in the second half, where the Monkeys lineup just looked lost from the first inning to the ninth. Hopefully something
will come out for the Monkeys, in which they realize they're losing a little bit too much, and they're putting their minds together again. But four peat is hard. Even look, we talk about how the Warriors, the NBA, the mm-hmm. last dynasty we've seen in between basketball, football, baseball. I'm not so big of a hockey fan, so I can't speak to that. But the Warriors never even had a three peat, and sometimes they mm-hmm. lost. You know, they lost a couple of NBA finals. One against the Raptors and one against the Cavaliers before the dynasty was over. And I think sometimes you just need that loss to rejuvenate yourselves a little bit. Winning three in a row, and starting out so hot in your fourth year, probably set the team off a little bit. Probably there were I'm not sure. I don't work for the team, so I can't speak entirely about the psychology of the players, the mentality. But maybe that played a factor into it. And hopefully, sitting last in the league right now with the 10-13 record can pull them out of that a little bit. As the season continues. So with that being said. What are their championship chances?
Now, given that I started out the odds making at trying to make it 100% percentage wise, I am looking at the Monkeys at a 1-4 chance, which is even better than the Lions and tied with the Guardians, miraculously. But yeah. Like we said, those odds are falling fast. Now, they can be reversed, and I'm kind of basing it off of their reputation and their talent, right, and their championship kind of attitude and swag. So I put it at about 1-4, 25%, nervously. Their record is not too, I mean, look, they're not too far off. They're 3.5 games out, and like a good week we saw in previous weeks, Lions and like Guardians flip from 1-4.
Yeah.
And so it's possible. I mean, the later in the season, the harder it will get. So they need to get right. And so looking at the schedule, they will be on the road a little bit more in September. So that might be a little cause for concern, but that might also be the opportunity to get right.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll look forward to the Monkeys trying to make a comeback. And look, even a bottom team like the Monkeys right now have a good story. And that's kind of the magic, the beauty of CPBL baseball.
Yeah, and right now, in terms of which one is more ahead for them, in terms of, you know, which one has a better shot in four-year standings or the second half standings, they're 3.5 games back in both from first place. So right now, it's kind of like, okay, we're off the same foot on both fronts. So. There really isn't much of an excuse anymore in terms of which one should we go for? Should we go for the full year or the second half? Because right now they're as far behind from first place in both standings. I think I've grown a lot more pessimistic in the last week or so, about last mm-hmm. 10 days. If I don't mind, I said 25, 33, and 50% for the brothers. So that adds up to about 100 already. But if I take that away, I think the Monkeys have about a 20% chance. I don't okay. see them going to the Taiwan series this year, which as a fan, it will hurt me a lot. But I think the team is overdue for that, just to not play that extra 2 weeks of baseball. And settle in and just cool their minds off a little bit. And also, it's a brand new coaching staff, brand new ownership. It's just sometimes the transition is just a little bit hard on the team. And so that wraps up the second half season review as of today, August 27th. And Ryan, before I let you go, I want to plug your podcast a little bit. Again, it's called Taiwan Pro Ball.
It's called Taiwanese Pro Ball.
Taiwanese Pro Ball. My there you go. My apologies. And so why did you start this podcast?
You know, I think podcasting could be an oversaturated medium, but the CPBL gaining the fame it has had, the notoriety it's had, there existed a space for another podcast. And so Rob with the CPBL stats, Rob and Tom's kind of a little bit of a medium form, right?
Yeah.
Probably like 20 or 30 minutes is a great one. Michael's come up with his, and the No Crying Baseball ladies, Patty and Potty Mouth, kind of have a longer form, and they touch about on a lot of different topics, a lot of leagues, a lot of players. I think maybe I thought a focused, quick update on the last week's action was a good way to keep fans engaged, because it, to be real, CPBL game takes place in a time zone that's not super conducive to the American audience.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're early wakers or if you're like super fans and waking up at 2-3 in the morning. So that's why I started the podcast. I also kind of expect the basketball scene to take off a lot more with the arrival of the new P League. So
right.
I can talk about that. Basketball is probably the second sport I'm most familiar with and know a lot about. And I'm sure, hopefully in the future with the return of the Asian Basketball League, that a sizable audience will also tune in for that too. So it's kind of also just a practice for my actual broadcasting gigs on 11 Sports Taiwan.
Nice. Great to hear. And hopefully we'll hear you more on 11 Sports as well. How have your experiences been hosting the podcast?
It's been nothing but good things, I gotta say. I mean, the only thing would be maybe like my prep work needs to be a little bit more efficient, but so far I've been getting good feedback. I got a new mic, which is gonna help out a ton.
Yeah.
I think the process is getting streamlined ever so slowly. Everyone's been saying good things, which I appreciate, and hopefully I can build in a little bit more feedback and interaction, but that'll be something to develop. I'm not a mature podcaster like you, Danny. And so we'll build that in. We'll let it progress. Let it breathe. I'm still new to this. And hey, everything's fresh. Everything's new. And it's focused on a fun league. And this has been an incredible year of CPBL baseball. Just on the things on the field, the action-wise, has been great. And now that we have an international community, unfortunately with COVID, we've got a lot bigger of an audience. But we appreciate all of you listening in.
Yeah, I've been doing podcasting since my freshman year. I'm still quite new to it, so appreciate your kind words for this podcast. It's really easy. I mean, in my opinion, it's quite easy to set one up, and anybody, I encourage everybody out there to have one, just to, I didn't set this up to expect a lot of viewership. I just kind of did it just so I can shout at something for a long period of time and somehow upload it online so I can hear it again. But, so I do encourage all people out there to start a podcast. At least for me, the experience has been has been a fun experience. And Ryan, as you said, you had a pretty good experience as well. So that being said, though, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, though. What's your least favorite thing about the podcast, about hosting one?
The least favorite thing, you know, when I first began my podcast, and I'm probably still working on it, when I first began, I'm talking about all the teams in the CPBL. There's four teams. So every week, I look through the box scores, and I find the hitter I want to highlight and a pitcher I want to highlight and honorable mentions, whatever applicable.
Yeah.
And so when I started out, I just had an open spreadsheet and just a couple notes. And so it was a lot more on the spot. And what I imagine what real baseball broadcasters can do on the fly, I really look up to the likes of John Miller and Dave Fleming holding down the radio side for the Giants for so many years. And it sounds great. Sounds prepared. And it's also a lot of fun. So when I first started, I kind of want to go in that vein, but at least for now, the time being, with how short my podcasts are, I'd like to keep it under 10 minutes. Cause that's as long as I think I keep everyone's attention just going, oh, he went 5-for-17 and he got 2 home runs and blah, blah, blah. It's all these stats and not so much a conversation like we're having right now. So I've moved over to the scripted format and it's been working pretty good. It's certainly a little bit more work, but I think hopefully it'll be worth it. And one day I'll move back into the more casual free form, maybe even extend the time. And I'll have to ask you about having guests on and doing a good job interacting with another person on the other side of the phone call. So right now, still learning the process of maybe scripting versus free form. And so that's definitely something that maybe a little frustrating. It comes with a learning curve, I'm sure. And need to learn from you, learn from Rob, learn from Michael, Patty, Pottymouth. There's a lot of good podcasters out there surrounding the CPBL. It's
yeah.
an exciting time.
Yeah, it certainly is, especially it's kind of unprecedented international attention that the league is having right now. And what for interviews is a very hard actually through the phone. I found it really hard because I started out with doing in-person interviews, and I would interview people I know really well is from school, and I can just see when we're in person, I can just see through their expression, like maybe they're about to finish their thing, so I can prepare my transition and all that. Over the phone, that's you can't really hear that, you can't really see that through the phone, so. That's the one thing I struggle with a lot, actually, especially with the right now with all the technology interviews and stuff like that. So again, before as a tradition for on this podcast, Friends with Danny Shi, again every single week when I have a guest on, I let them do a FaceTime so you can have as much time as you want. Talk about this one topic that you feel passionate about and stuff like that. Obviously you have a podcast, so I'm kind of interested to see what you have in mind for your FaceTime, but yeah, there are people talking about political stuff and thanking healthcare workers and all of that in the past. So go ahead, Ryan, you have the floor.
You know, coming into this podcast, today's recording, today's episode, I was definitely thinking a lot about my summer camp friends, and so but I actually had another topic in mind. So just a quick shout out to the class of 2020, our graduating seniors. We won't have our camp this year, and who knows what the future holds, but we miss you guys and can't wait to get together and see you two adulthood in our life camp. Shout out to Leading Youth Forward Life Camp in Northern California, Kevin, Evelyn, Jonathan, Nina, Peyton, Sheelan, and my former camper, Maddie. So that's to the graduating class. But I think my topic, my FaceTime for today, I definitely want to give a shout out to Black Lives Matter. Just real quick, it doesn't have to be political, but it's just a matter of respect. So Jacob Blake, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, all people who want to see justice. But more than that is also how we treat each other and the respect we have for our fellow human beings. Colin Kaepernick took a knee 4 years ago on August 26th. It is now August of 2020. The Atlantic slave trade began 400 years ago. And that's not to say we need to make up for things in the past, but this is a lesson for how we go forward. So anything, I mean, not to compare, but there's, of course, other, biases, racism, we can, for the Asian American community, we look at Chinese workers who came overseas in the 19th century. They had very little rights. They weren't allowed to own land. Their gold rush excluded them completely. Japanese Americans in internment camps. So we need to check our own biases. It's an ongoing thing. You never arrive at a point of like enlightenment. You always got to say, hey, am I learning? Am I respectful? So take your time, but we want everyone in our society to get to the point of being able to be in solidarity with their fellow human beings. So make space, listen, and respect those who have their voices of when they voice out their suffering, whether it's to violence, to racism or sexism or any other matter of fact. So it's not on the oppressed to make changes, but to reform the oppressors. So we can get to the point of a promise of a functioning society and get to enjoy all the likes of, freedom and baseball like we enjoyed in Taiwan. Of course, there's certain things that every country needs to deal with, every society and group, but for now, I think what's primarily on my mind, given that, it should have always been on our hearts and minds, but now given the space, this is what I would like to share with for my FaceTime. So thanks a lot, Danny. It's been a really great time, and appreciate the open time for sharing about baseball and about other things.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words if you're trying to describe 2020 to myself in the you know, probably even in 2019. I was texting a friend earlier this weekend. I was joking. I was like, there couldn't be any. It couldn't be a more crazy election year, couldn't be. And we were just kind of hoping that the rest of the year would be a little bit more peaceful, and then just another horrible. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just very disheartening to watch, especially from I'm not from America. I've lived there for 3 years only so far, but just seeing people hurt on TV and stuff like that is just sad to see.
Yeah. You know, the very minimum we could do is at least care for the people that you're in touch with. So, you know, yeah. Danny, this is us talking for the first time. Of course, everyone's got, hopefully you have a nice supporting group around you, family or friends. So, you know, keep in touch, show compassion. And that's like the first step. And if you have any extra energy, like, see what you can do out in the world. I mean, like, the most basic thing is to, you know, vote.
Yeah.
If you're so privileged to have a vote, and, you know, study the issues, maybe talk about it, ask questions, and put in a vote. But those are two kind of very simple things that we can do that hopefully, you know what, we're just trying to work toward a better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do a little bit of progress, Hopefully one day we'll see it through.
Yeah. Hopefully one day, hopefully we are seeing the light at the other end of the tunnel. We can go through this the darkness in time as soon as we can. So thanks for coming in, Ryan. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you accepting my invitation. I had a blast. Your analysis was spot on. Okay, I need to ask you this before I let you go. Do you have a soft spot for any of the teams in CPBL?
All right. So a little insider information. You can read about the team I have a soft spot for. I'll message you, Danny. But yes, there is a big story. So as of right now, not really. You know, I work for 11 and we broadcast the Monkeys game. So
yeah,
I of course look forward to them having continued success and continuing their season. But I will keep that a little bit of a mystery. You guys know that I'm a San Francisco Giants baseball fan. So I've thought of it to myself as like, we've been like the most blessed fans in all the world for experiencing 10, 12, and 14. And even some of the stuff on the side. In the CPBL, I got my own stories. I am currently in my, shall we say, mid-ish 20s to moving on to late-ish 20s. So you can imagine who were some of the championship teams of my boyhood, my childhood. And we'll go from there.
Okay.
I will, maybe, yeah. Maybe an extra hint is, the fandom is not a mellow fandom, if you want to use a word pun.
Oh, so is it like a banana kind of fandom rather than a melon fandom? Is it kind of,
you need to use another fruit acronym, but yes, it is a little bit more of a banana mellowish fandom.
Okay.
Oranges are okay. You know, yeah. I'm familiar with oranges. I don't know what fruit, apples are my favorite fruit, but no one eats apples around the baseball field. So that would be that slant. I don't know what fruit would you say is blue? Like grapes are the closest thing.
Right. Okay.
But that's not fun. That's not fun to rhyme with grapes.
Yeah, it's not.
Because then the grapes with apes, and the apes are not red. It's a whole thing. We clearly needed to prepare more for this podcast. Like, prepared for the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah. This should have been most of the podcast. Thanks for coming on. And before we end this, if Levin is looking for somebody to another person to commentate their CPBL games, I can direct them to a point. A place on Twitter that the names start with a D and end with an L. That's my last words for this podcast.
Excellent. Very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for coming on. And thank you for tuning in, for all the viewers out there. And we'll see you guys next week.